In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, first question. Who's feeling a little antsy for Lent? Well, the two kind of go hand in hand. Both have to deal with rebirth. You know, this is one of those years where we have an extended time between Christmas and Lent, which makes it all the more interesting because we have readings like today. Just as I have in the past, you know, there's some things that actually kind of stuck in my head as I was reading these. When I say the word fishing, what do most people think of? Rod and reel, right?
Stamps.
For trout, salmon, that type of thing? That's the stamp you're talking about?
No. On the computer, there's people are trying to...
Scams. Phishing. That would be P-H-I-S.
That's a band.
Not bad. Most people think about phishing. Again, I bring this up because we need to understand what's going on in the scriptures at this time. And we have this idea of fishing that even at the best is of a fishing boat on a lake, right? Something that you see, like a trawler, right? You've seen them before for the perch, or most often in ocean for shrimp and everything else. These big boats that actually lay down these long nets with streams of buoys, right? Anybody ever see cast netting?
Yeah.
You know what cast netting is, where somebody actually takes a net, throws it out, it spins out into a circle, drops down. That's actually closer to the type of fishing that they would do. Or they would use gill nets and drop them into the water. The boats are also very different than we understand. I've heard people describe the fishing boats as more like galley ships, right? Can you imagine trying to drop a net off a three-masted schooner's deck? Can't do it, right? The fishing boats of the time were rather blocky, rather low to the water. Easier to reach the water and pull the net over a rail about this size, right? Easier to do this than to take a couple hundred-pound net and do this. Why talk about fishing so much? There's a line in there that talks about fishing for people. I will make you fishers of people. They have spent the entire night out on the lake, casting their nets out, chasing the fish hither, thither, and yon, and have caught nothing. At a word, lowering their nets, catching so many fish, the boats begin to sink. Showing the foreknowledge and goodness of God. So much so that it terrifies Simon. He understands what has happened. Now, he's probably heard rumors about this gentleman anyway, walking around the shores of Galilee, or Gennesaret, as we hear today. And he would have been sitting there listening to the teaching that he taught everyone. Very interesting. He echoes the attitude of the gentleman in the Old Testament, does he not? I am not worthy. This seraph comes down and burns his lips with a holy coal. Doesn't hesitate to say the word, "Here am I, send me." It seems strange to people when we hear these things. Somebody like him who says, "Here am I, send me." The next phrase is, people listen but don't understand. Shut their eyes so they can't see the truth. Shut their ears so they can't hear. We rail against that type of thing, right? So let me ask you a question. What is it, do you suppose, is being spoken of in that passage?
Seek with your heart.
Yeah. There is another sense upon which we need to seek. It is easy to be blinded or consumed by the things of the world. It is easy to be distracted and led astray by the things around us. You ever see a fisherman that's never fished before?
Yeah.
Better yet, have you ever seen a fly fisherman that's ever fished before? I can tell you firsthand, you come home with a lot of hooks in the back of your head. Yeah, no, they usually find your head. It's the weirdest thing. Fly fishing, I guarantee, if you've never done it, the first thing you're going to do is go out there, try to fly fish. You're going to hook yourself in the back of the head. Wear a hat. That would be my advice. Wear a hat. But it's because we're not paying attention. Fly fishing ends up being about the rhythm. You don't see it. You actually feel it. Your arm falls into a sink. And you walk it back and forth. And you start adding your line. And the line goes out further and further. And then you notice the water. And you're looking at the water for signs of fish. And you can aim that line wherever you want. And pretty soon, with the perfect cast, the little fly flies over the spot where the fish might be. It comes flying out of the water, chasing it, and is caught. You can't just go out. You can't just use your head. You use something more. No, I fish from the water, I fish from shore. That doesn't matter. It's feeling what you're doing, knowing what you're doing, knowing where the fish lie, knowing where the people are having problems, knowing the antidote to the world. Life is a boat that can sink at any time. We may live our lives never being hurt or have perfect health. Or we might get hit by a bus in the next hour. Do you worry about the bus? Do you focus on the inconsistencies of life? Or do you listen as a fisherman on a boat? I put forth the fact that, in my opinion, everyone worries incredibly too much about very insignificant things. We can't feel what we need to feel to find the fish. Christ sits there on the boat, simply says, go out into deep water. Cast your nets here. Go out into Chesterton. Cast your nets there. We are fishers of men. We are supposed to see things different than the world sees them. It is by those feelings, by those understandings that we gain from the study of Scripture that we go out into the world and find people like Simon and James and John. Another example we hear today from our readings is actually Paul by his own words. Paul, in many readings, called himself the Jew of Jews. It is suggested that he was there at the stoning of Stephen and looked with favor upon it. He was given leave by the Jewish Sanhedrin to actually chase down, persecute, and kill Christians. When he boasts of being the least of the apostles, he understands that is because of his actions. He saw with his eyes. He saw with his ears. He saw with the senses of the world and found Christians to be the enemy. When he looked with something else, he became one of the most prolific apostolic writers. Had many missionary journeys. Reached a multitude of people. All never denying his brokenness, never denying his shortcomings or faults, but understanding that they existed, understanding that the world is an imperfect place. He cast his nets in the towns that he visited. One of my favorite stories of Paul that sticks in my head all the time is actually when he was captured and traveling to Rome, right? Huge storm wreck. Ends up on a deserted island after saving his captors from drowning. Begins to start a fire on an island in which there are many very deadly snakes. And as he reaches towards the wood to stoke the fire, a snake comes out, bites him. What does Paul do? Panic, run around, fall down dead? No. Takes the wood over to the fire, shakes his hand, the snake falls off into the flame, dies, stokes the fire. How is it that you're alive? I believe in something more than myself. It allows me to suffer the slings and arrows of the world. It allows me to endure what fells other people. It is what sustains and keeps me. That's fishing for people. So, do we still think of fishing as a rod and reel or a scam? There is significance in all of the stories, all of Scripture that we read. There are so many things that can be pulled out of them that apply to us, that better our lives, that show us the way. We cannot see them when we watch only with our eyes and hear only with our ears. We cannot even begin to understand them oftentimes unless we are willing to have our lips burned with a holy coal.
We need to listen with everything other than our worldly senses. Then we'll know where the fish are. We'll see something greater than we've seen before. And our nets will be so full that the boat will begin to sink.